Today, we're going to talk about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program opportunities in Austria. My name is Aphrodita Krasnici. I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Officer for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, based here, working for the Institute of International Education in New York City. We are joined today by Ms. Suzanne Hamsha, the Program Officer for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Awards at the Austrian Fulbright Commission in Vienna, Austria. Good evening, Suzanne, and thank you for dedicating this evening to the Fulbright program, and welcome. It is a pleasure to have you here with us.
Good evening. It's my pleasure.
Thank you. We are also honored to have with us Dr. Joseph Malharek, who has a PhD in American Studies at George Washington University and was a Fulbright U.S. Scholar to Austria in 2017-2018. Good afternoon, Dr. Malharek. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So just to start a little bit about the history of the Fulbright program, it's a fascinating history how it was established in 1946 by the U.S. Senator at the time, J. William Fulbright. The program started as a small program, and the idea of the program was to establish and strengthen relationship between the people of the United States and the citizens from other countries. So the program started a very small program in Burma, and it grew over the years. And you can see on the left-hand side is like the first Fulbrighters in Burma, and then on the right-hand side you will see a more recent picture of a Fulbrighter who went to a program that was for Fulbright Arctic Studies. So Fulbright program was established with this idea to increase mutual understanding, and it is funded by the State Department, Bureau of Educational Cultural Affairs, and it is administered here in the U.S. by the Institute of International Education, whereas overseas it is administered by Fulbright commissions, and in this case we have with Austria, it is administered by the Fulbright Commission in Austria. And also, like they run the program on the ground, and Suzanne Hamsha works with current grantees there, and they work closely with Fulbrighters. So the reason why we bring this up is because we wanted to have like a better understanding of how the Fulbright program works, because it has many moving parts, and so you will get a better understanding once you hear also the history of the program. Just to talk a little bit about the Fulbright in numbers, because it is considered as one of the most prestigious programs in the world, with the biggest number, with the largest number of recipients. Many world leaders are Fulbright alumni. For example, currently the president of Croatia is a Fulbright alumni, and so many other world leaders. So basically, as you can see here, since 1946, to date, there have been 380,000 participants of the program. We do send about 800 U.S. scholars annually to over 125 participating countries all over the world, because this number for 160 participating countries includes all the Fulbright programs. So we're just talking today about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. As you can see, it is very prestigious because many of the alumni have won these prestigious prizes, including the Nobel Prize, the Pulitzer Prize, MacArthur Fellows, and even the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award. So if you are selected to be a Fulbrighter, you definitely are part of this great network of alumni. Just something to keep in mind that the Fulbright program definitely is inclusive, and it promotes diversity. So we encourage the involvement of people from all different backgrounds, and especially people who come from underrepresented audiences are encouraged to apply. And the program does include people regardless of the race, color, or the national origin and other factors. So just keep this in mind that the Fulbright program is really all an inclusive program. Please note that today we're going to talk about the application cycle 2021. And we are going to describe all the program elements, and you will hear about the experience from an alumni to Austria. We will have the great input from the Fulbright Commission in Austria, but also we are going to take the questions at the end of the presentation. Eligibility for being eligible in the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, you first of all have to have the U.S. citizenship. Because this is a bilateral program and you are going to serve as cultural ambassador of the United States, and therefore the citizenship is required. There are so many different awards that are offered within the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. So PhD sometimes is required, or a terminal degree is required, but then they also offer opportunities for applicants with a master degree. Those awards, there are some awards in particular that are also welcoming professionals and artists. Especially in Austria, we do have like few awards that are welcoming artists and professionals that have recognized standing and substantial accomplishments. And some awards are different have different requirements. The teaching experience varies. And then there are new policies on previous or former Fulbright scholars. So you have to wait 2 years from the time you have completed your first Fulbright or the last Fulbright until the time you apply. So you just have to keep this in mind, and there are no limits to how many Fulbrighters one can get. However, the priority will be always given to applicants who have never had a Fulbright before. But you just need to make a strong justification why you need a second or a third Fulbright. As you can see just from the recent data that we have from the 2018-2019 application cycle, the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program participants were 93%, whereas we do offer also seminars. They're called International Education Administrator Seminars that are like 7% of overall participants attended these seminars. And we do not have one seminar offered in Austria, but there are in the neighboring countries in Europe, there are great opportunities for administrators who want to also do these two-week seminars. How do you select the right award? So basically, we're going to show you the catalog of awards, and we're going to navigate through it so you have a better understanding how to find the right fit and the right award. But first of all, you have to look at the award requirements. What is your expertise that you're bringing, your experience, and also the proposal that you have for that is specific to that country. If you have regional experience, you should highlight that because that helps you become a better cultural ambassador. And then there are some awards that have preferred disciplines listed on the award. So that's a good way also to find your good match, because sometimes we do have these awards that are all disciplines, and keep in mind you would be then competing with so many professionals or academics who are applying for that same award, coming from different backgrounds. It is important always to justify the Fulbright application to why that specific country, why specifically Austria, and how is the host institution going to benefit from your Fulbright, whether it's teaching or research experience. And then we do have opportunities from different career levels, from early career, postdoc, mid-level, up to Distinguished Chair Awards. So we're going to continue with the opportunities in Austria. So as you know, the Fulbright competition opened in February 2019, and the application deadline is September 16, 2019. Applicants can apply to only one specific award in Austria. And we'll show you the catalog of awards and how to look for these opportunities. But first, I wanted to address some of the common questions that I receive about the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program to Austria. So I've just highlighted some here, is my discipline represented, for example, because Austria award offerings are incredibly diverse. And there are opportunities from scholars in every academic field. There are about 26 awards offered this year in Austria, and there are some new awards featured this year, like, for example, the Fulbright Catherine and Craig Hall Distinguished Chair for Entrepreneurship in Central Europe at Vienna University of Economic and Business. So this is a Distinguished Chair Award for more senior level of scholars. And then there are some other awards that we're going to highlight soon, and I'm going to ask Suzanne to tell us a little bit more about these unique awards that we offer. We also have, these questions. What if I don't have contact at my preferred, at my preferred host institution? Because sometimes, they are listed there, sometimes they are not. So you can basically either just research the university. We do provide many times the resources, like the university website, or you can check our Fulbright Scholar Directory. We do provide this resource. These are alumni who went to Austria and all other countries, but you can search them by alumni who went to Austria, and also see, maybe they could help you connect with a host, and then you can always contact me. You can contact us at europeeurasia@iie.org, and we can always get in touch with Fulbright Commission, with Suzanne, to help us and help you eventually get connected. And how do I get a letter of invitation? So if the letter of invitation is required, which most of the Austrian awards do not require, it's an optional possibility, but you just basically reach out to the host, send them your resume, and then if there is an interest from their side, they will follow up with a letter of invitation, which you then upload to your application. So now, just like a snapshot here, you will see the Austrian awards and how they appear in the catalog of awards, but basically you just have to keep in mind you will need to look for, like, how are you going to find if you're a right fit for these awards. So you just, I would like to now invite Suzanne to tell us more about this new exciting opportunity that the Fulbright Commission has offered this year. So Suzanne, could you tell us more about this new opportunity?
Absolutely, yes. So what you see right now on the screen is our Fulbright Catherine and Craig Hall Chair, which is one of the most prestigious awards in the Fulbright program worldwide, and we're very proud to be partnering with the Hall Foundation on this award. We've had this award in our portfolio for a couple of years now, but in this new cycle of applications, we've broadened the scope of the award to invite applicants who do research and teaching in the field of entrepreneurship as it relates to issues of diversity and inclusion. So we're inviting scholars to apply who, in their research and teaching, focus particularly on issues of diversity in the fields of economics and entrepreneurship and innovation. So this is an old award that has been sort of reformatted and whose award description has been adapted to make the award in itself more inclusive. If we want to look at the next award that I'm going to introduce, which we offer together with the Fulbright, with the Natural History Museum Vienna, Then this award is special because it is a research award, so there is no teaching component included in this award. And it is also special because it is a flex award, which means that technically you could negotiate with the host institution that you split your grant period. And previous grantees have made use of this option. The Natural History Museum in Vienna is one of the premier research museums in the world. It houses over 30 million artifacts in its historic collections, ranging from the fields of anthropology and geology to zoology. It's equipped with modern labs, so you could do DNA research there. It is a very, very famous institution. It is one of the most important public institutions in Austria and one of the largest non-university research centers that we have in our country. So a very, very exciting opportunity for everyone who wants to do research in that area. The next award I would like to briefly talk about is an award that is brand new in our portfolio. This is the first time we're offering this award together with the University of Applied Sciences Burgenland. This is an award that focuses on the fields of energy and environmental management. It's a combination of teaching and research. The award period is for 4 months, which corresponds to one semester. Our semesters in Austria are generally 4 months. The winter semester starts in October and goes until the end of January. Then we have a one-month break, and our spring term or summer term starts in March and goes until the end of June. This award, as I said, is new. It is focusing very much on sustainability in two main areas, in the area of sustainable buildings on the one hand and sustainable energy supply for rural regions on the other hand. Both of these topics are not only understood in technical terms but also include social and economic issues, so the University of Applied Sciences Burgenland is interested in scholars who follow a genuinely interdisciplinary approach in their teaching and research. What's also important to note is that the Department of Energy and Environmental Management organizes an international conference in the field of sustainable buildings and areas every November. And this conference would give visiting professors a great networking opportunity, and for that reason, the University of Applied Sciences Burgenland would prefer visiting scholars to start their grant in October so they could participate in this conference. The next award I would like to rush you through is the Fulbright Navi Graz Visiting Professor in the Natural Sciences. The Navi Graz is a very special institution because it is actually a strategic cooperation of two universities located in the city of Graz. That's the Graz University of Technology and the University of Graz partnering up in the natural sciences departments. So they basically cover 35 departments at both universities. In the areas of biosciences, biotechnology, plant science, chemistry and chemical technologies, earth space and environmental science, applied mathematics, physics, and other fields of research. They offer over 20 study programs, and they sort of partner up also in research projects and other forms of collaboration. So for any visiting professor at this institution, this would be a great opportunity to establish sort of a wide network of scholars who work in the fields of natural sciences at these two universities in Graz. The next award I would like to mention is yet another fairly new award, which we offer together with St. Pölten University of Applied Sciences in the fields of computer science and security. This is the second time we're offering this award. And this award is so special because it is the only award that we have that is really focused on IT security and information security. We have other awards in the area of computer science, but the University of Applied Sciences in St. Pölten is particularly interested in scholars who specialize on subjects such as digital forensics, network security, secure software development, industrial security, security management, privacy, big data, data science, and so on and so forth. They offer bachelor's programs in IT security and data science, as well as a master's program in information security. And this is where the visiting professor at this institution would teach. Cybersecurity is really their main research focus. They have sort of a research network in this field, and they are working on the development of new methods for detecting, interpreting, and defending against cyber attacks. And the visiting scholar would be very much invited to contribute to this existing research collaboration. The last award I would like to introduce to you is the Artist in Residence Award, which we offer together with the Museums Quartier. So this is something entirely different now from the previous awards that I mentioned, because this is an award that is designed for artists. It is, again, only a research award with no teaching component. And research obviously here means also artistic production. So we're looking for artists of all contemporary media who would like to take this opportunity to work in residence with one or more of the many cultural providers that are associated with the Q21, which is a cultural initiative that is located in the Museums Quartier. A conjunction, if you will, of museums that are located in the center of the city of Vienna. The project proposals of this award should describe the artist's planned contribution to the Q21 activities. And here, applicants should specifically mention one or more institutions that are part of the Q21 network with whom they would like to collaborate as part of their residency. So we would encourage everyone who applies for this award to solicit a letter of invitation from one of the Q21 institutions. The Q21 institutions, to give you a better idea of sort of the areas in which they work. The Q21 institutions range from publishing companies and radio and TV broadcasters to people who work in the fine arts, in electronic music, game culture, comics, film analysis, sound architecture, and light art. So Q21 covers a wide range of artistic expression. As I said, the Q21 institutions encompass over 50 institutions and initiatives, and I would encourage everyone to check out their website at www.q21.at. You will find a list of all institutions there, and this would be sort of the first step in your application to have a look at their website and figure out which institutions you would like to collaborate with. And obviously, I would be very happy to advise you and also facilitate contact. I'm sorry, if you are interested in applying for this award. So that concludes my tour through our awards, and I'd be happy to take questions about the individual awards at the end of the presentation.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. We really appreciate the in-depth knowledge and information about all these wonderful opportunities in Austria. So, and especially the last one, this is a very cool award, and we really have, some interesting features here, especially in the arts medium, but then this is not just focusing on the arts, it's beyond that. So that's a great opportunity, and Vienna being like the cultural center, that's a great opportunity. So thank you. Now we can move on to also getting to know more about the experience from the Dr. Joseph Melhorek, the alumni to Austria, who just recently returned from Austria and can share with us the great experience there. So Dr. Melhorek, would you be so kind and tell us how was your Fulbright experience in Austria?
Yes, well, at first I'd like to thank you, Aphrodita and Susanna, for putting together this webinar and inviting me to participate. I'm happy to have the chance to speak with you today and to answer any questions that anybody might have. As you said, my name is Joseph Melhorek. I have a PhD in American Studies, and I was the Fulbright Botstieber Visiting Professor of Austrian American Studies in the Department of English and American Studies at the University of Vienna for the 2017-2018 winter semester as part of the U.S. Scholar Program. Just a quick preview of what I'm going to talk about. I'll talk for about 10 minutes. First, I'll talk a little bit about my research and teaching experience in Vienna. Then I'll talk a little bit about some professional opportunities that the Fulbright presented me, such as talks and meeting journal editors and people in my field who I collaborated with. And finally, I'll provide a few suggestions or tips on why I think my Fulbright application may have been successful. So you can go to the next slide now. So about my Fulbright experience, I taught a class on the history of American consumer culture at the University of Vienna. And I collaborated with the director of the American Studies program there on designing the class. I had given her a few proposals for classes that I could teach, and she chose the class on consumer culture based on students' interest in the topic and also my own experience. It was a small seminar class that met weekly. It was a bit less intense of a meeting schedule than what is typical at most American universities. And it was a very international group of students. The course was conducted in English. And in fact, most students in the class were probably more comfortable in English than they were in German. While I was in Vienna, I also conducted research for my book project. And that's called the Frankfurt School's Other Socialist Emigres Who Made Capitalist Culture in America, 1918 to 1968. So this topic of my project is specifically about a group of Austrian emigres to the United States. And so, of course, it fit very nicely within the interests of the Botstieber Institute for Austrian American Studies, which sponsors my award. And while I was there, I made use of several archives that are unique to Vienna that included collections for some of the important figures in my book project. And I also had a chance to tour Vienna's Gemeindebauten, these public housing projects that are all over the city. They were first initiated in the 1920s, and they were an important part of my research, and I was able to visit them and photograph them. And there was also, there's a museum exhibit in one of them in the Karl Marx Hof, which I was able to take a look at. And while I was there, I felt that getting a sense of the city and sort of a feel for the geography actually helped my research and writing. There are many passages in my book manuscript that I could not have written with the confidence that I had without having spent a good deal of time in Vienna. I think that tangible experience really makes one's knowledge more profound. And I was also able to use German language sources, which are important to my project, and I was able to study those sources and also improve my German language skills, especially for reading, which is obviously essential to my research. My background is in American studies, not German or Austrian studies, as was the case for many of the Fulbrighters in Austria. So now to the second part of my experience. You can go back to the previous slide, but it's, yeah. So one of the benefits of my Fulbright was the opportunity to meet scholars in the host country and also throughout Europe. I just wanted to mention that while I was in Vienna, I was invited to give three talks, one at the Austrian Academy of Sciences, where they had a conference on social and cultural exchanges between Europe and North America. I was invited by a professor emeritus in the American Studies department at the University of Vienna. So there I was able to present my work to a group of scholars who were working on migration and transatlantic histories, very similar topics. And there was, I think, some potential for future collaboration, particularly with this emeritus professor who invited me to give the talk. I was also invited to Graz for a meeting of the Austro-American Society of Styria, or Steiermark, and I was invited by a professor in the Department of American Studies there, and I was able to give a talk, which was attended by the mayor of Graz and the chargé d'affaires of the American Embassy in Austria. At the time, there was no ambassador, so he was the guy in charge, and I was able to meet with them and talk with them about my work, so I thought that was a good experience. And I was also invited to give another talk in Krakow in Poland, but unfortunately that didn't fit in my schedule and I wasn't able to do that. I was also, while I was in Vienna, invited to present a paper at a conference at the Institute for Advanced Study at the Central European University in Budapest. It was another conference on migration and transatlantic studies, which was jointly hosted by the Institute for Advanced Study and the Buxtehude Institute. And so I presented my work. I was able to meet the editor of the Journal of Austrian American Studies, who invited me to contribute an article that will be published this summer. And I also had a chance to meet the director and other officers at the Institute of Advanced Study. They became familiar with my work. I applied for a fellowship there, which was also successful. And next year, beginning in October, I will be a fellow at the Institute for Advanced Study at Central European University. And while I was in Vienna, I also had the opportunity to attend talks by several prominent Austrian scholars, and I was able to establish some relationships that I think may lead to collaboration on future publications. I attended one talk at Sigmund Freud University, also in Vienna. I attended a couple of talks at the University of Vienna. I met a scholar who several people pointed me to who worked on similar topics, and we had a chance to meet and chat. And actually, my roommate while I was in Vienna, whom I met through sabbaticalhomes.com, she was not affiliated with Fulbright, but she was very plugged into the university, an academic scene in Vienna, and she pointed me to some useful talks and other events that I attended. And with regards to my application and why I think it may have been successful, I can only conjecture on this, but so I had applied for, I had applied for another similar Fulbright Award in Austria, but I also indicated that I was interested in the Buxtehude Award, which is the one I ultimately received. So although I did only apply for one award, I was able to check a box that indicated that I was interested in, I think, two other awards. And I ended up getting the Buxtehude Award. So I suppose if that's still the case that you can do that, that's something to keep in mind, that you might want to think about not just one award that you're eligible for, but perhaps two or three. I do know that my proposal fulfilled a desire of the director of the American Studies program at the University of Vienna for somebody to teach a class on American culture, and particularly on American consumer culture, which I was able to ultimately do. I think it was clear from my application that my project would benefit from research in the unique archival collections in Vienna, and also from the experience of being in the city. And I also try to indicate that this kind of that I will be able to contribute something myself and that I would get something from the experience. I should also mention that one of my letters of recommendation came from a former Fulbrighter, somebody who had received a U.S. Scholar Award. And I don't know, of course, but I suspect that that may have helped my application. So if you happen to, you know any, have any friends or colleagues or people who, you know, have done a Fulbright who might be able to support your application, that probably would be helpful. And also knowing about his positive experience was an inspiration for me to apply. And I also, you know, knew that there are many Fulbright grants, and some of them focus on fairly niche topics, which I think may improve your chances of a successful application. So finally, to sort of sum up, I think, you know, Fulbright really accomplishes precisely what it claims to, that is to establish international friendships and professional relationships that do not only serve the individual interests of scholars, but also promote transnational global understanding and collegiality. And I think it's important in your application to communicate a genuine belief in this broader mission, which will probably improve your chances of success. So this experience will be beneficial to you personally and professionally, but you yourself will also serve as a link between nation states and peoples. The connections you'll make will come in subtle ways that may only become apparent later, but they're definitely real. And in addition to your formal responsibilities, you'll also have the informal opportunities. You know, I was able to visit museums, work in Vietnamese cafes, visit the wineries in the Heiligen, attend the Technical University Ball, which was a wonderful experience. So it was really a great time, and I think communicating in your application that you have an adventurous spirit and you're very open-minded is probably a good thing. So finally, just to wrap up here, I think the right combination of things would probably make your application successful. You know, indicating that you have relevant research interests that could benefit from study in Austria, that you have the potential to offer something of value to an Austrian university or department or institute, and that there is the potential for you to take from your experience in Austria and translate that experience into new important scholarship and develop lasting professional relationships with the people you've met over the course of your Fulbright. So I think that pretty much sums it up, and I just want to thank you and let you know that I'll be happy to take any questions that you may have. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Malherik, for sharing your wonderful experience and also recommendations on how to make a strong and competitive application. That is very important for the applicants to hear that firsthand from you, and we really appreciate that. So just to go back to the basically application components and what it is required for you to make a competitive application, because there are so many moving parts, but the first step is basically you start the online application form, and this year we have a new application form which is pretty intuitive and it's a very user-friendly application. And then the most important component is the project statement. So we're going to cover all of that also briefly soon. And then it's your resume. Three letters of references are required. And then depending on the award, if you're applying for teaching, we would need to see the course outline or the syllabi. Or if you're applying for research-only bibliography, like a list of annotations, the resources you will use during your research, and if you're applying for both a teaching and research award, then we will need to see both of these documents. Language proficiency report only when it is required. Letter of invitation, of course, it's important as it shows the endorsement from the host. And then if you're applying in these categories as artist, for architect or writer or journalist, then we will need to see samples of your work. So in more detail, what is the project statement? It is really important that here you tell us why Fulbright and why you, and basically why this country, why Austria, why this particular institution, and how are they going to benefit from this experience, from the expertise you're bringing. And if you're applying for teaching, you know, the methods of teaching, and if you're applying for research, then the goals of your research, what are you planning to accomplish with this research, and how is the host institution going to benefit from the outcomes of the research. And also you need to have some kind of vision of, you know, what is it going to happen after Fulbright, if you're selected, of course. Then how is your home institution going to benefit from this experience? Are you opening doors to more collaborations in the future? Because I've heard from so many Fulbright alumni already that they went to the country back again and again because they really started this great conversation, a dialogue, a research project, and exchange of ideas that continues beyond Fulbright. So you really need to see how you're going to also explain that in your application. And if you've lived abroad, it's good to emphasize that in your application because that shows that you can adjust well in living in new countries, new circumstances. You know, if you're, like, just explain how would you basically deal with challenging situations if you, you know, are in that situation. So these are just some of the things we really want you to highlight in your application in order to make it a strong and competitive application. The affiliations and invitations are also very important. Because we will have the host, whenever they are identified, they will be found under location in the catalog of awards. And then sometimes you will even have the contact information, the name of the person, and then you can just reach out to them. And there are then other resources you can look for if the host is not identified. But definitely, you know, check maybe your campus is hosting a scholar from Austria, let's say, and they would have some suggestions. You know, you can use internet nowadays. I don't know how applicants applied in 1946 or in the 50s when there was no internet to search for all these contacts. But now I think if you just put down the name of the school, somebody will come up. And then the Fulbright Scholar Directory, it's a great resource. These are the list of alumni who went to all these countries within the last 10 years. So you will just be able to filter the search and just look for alumni who went to Austria. And then, you know, you can always reach out to us because for every award in Austria, there is my contact name, my email, my phone, and you can call me or just send me an email, and I'll be, if I don't know the information, I'll be able to connect with Suzanne, and she will then be able to tell us the information. So we work closely with Fulbright Commission in Austria in order to help you through the application process. So I really appreciate the responsiveness of the Fulbright Commission to help all the applicants to get the information needed. So keep in mind that the letter of invitation is not a contract. It's not like a contract that you for sure will get this Fulbright, even though it could be like a strong letter of invitation that it shows the endorsement from the host institution. Keep in mind that the host might issue multiple letters of invitations. They might like two or three candidates, and then one will be selected later on. So it should come from the person that you suggest to collaborate, as long as that person has the authority to invite you, because eventually they will need to provide you with some office space, like internet and so forth. And then it should be on the institution letterhead, and they can just sign it, scan it, and send it to you by email, and then you just upload it to your application directly. It is important to address the goal of promoting mutual understanding. Remember, you are serving as cultural ambassador. That's why Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program is unique program. That's why it is so prestigious, because you're expected to build relationship with these professionals in your field, with the community where you are going to live in. So make sure that is clear on your application and how would you address this. why you're interested in Fulbright and why in Austria. Again, it is important that your project is specific to Austria because, you know, you really have to convince the review panel why do you even have to leave the U.S. in, to do this research or to do this teaching. What is it, something unique that you're offering? What are those values that you're offering that they could benefit? And remember, this is an exchange program. So as much as you will be learning from these professionals, they will also be learning from you. So you have to be, leading an open dialogue. Cultural diplomacy is a very important aspect of the Fulbright program and how adaptable and flexible are you in living in this new environment. And then your vision beyond Fulbright grant, how is this going to help you professionally, personally, the home campus, how are they going to benefit the students? Will this help you enrich your curriculum? And so forth. And then, again, like we mentioned earlier, and Dr. Melherick just mentioned, you know, how is this going to open doors for more professional collaborations and make, ultimately, your campus more international? We do provide here the application resources, and also we're going to archive this webinar, and we're going to send it to you again so you can go back to this and just listen to it again so it could help you in your application process. So we do have the website, which is cis.org, and we're going to go to the website now just to show you basically how to do searches. Because first you go here to browse the awards catalog, and then you can select the country here, Austria, and then you just search for all these awards. You will see 26 awards come up when we search for Austria. So let's see, the first award that comes up is the American Studies Award. Just so that you have a better understanding how to look for this information. You will notice here there are four tabs. So make sure you read this award description carefully and you go through all the four tabs because all the information can be found here. And then here you will find information about the grant activity, the teaching or research, whatever they're expecting you to do. The grant length is, this is 4 months opportunity, and so it's one semester in Austria in their academic year. And the dates should be on either, let's say, the fall term or the spring term. So you need to adjust your activities accordingly. So the location, the host is going to be University of Innsbruck. In this case, they do not offer the flex option, which sometimes some awards offer this. It's multiple visits within the stretch of 2 years, and you can, as long as you stay in the country for 1 month. And so this award does not offer that. Then you look for the preferred disciplines, even though they're accepting applications in all disciplines. However, these are some of the preferred disciplines that they are highlighting here. So if you are interested to do film studies, teaching or research, then, you know, you definitely fall in the category of the preferred applicant, depending then the rest of the components of the application. But, you know, this is a good start. And then you will see here they offer one person will be selected. Then they offer the opportunity for you to do teaching only or a combination of teaching and research. The category, it is open to all level of scholars, including early career. PhD is required. The deadline is September 16, 2019. And there you will find my contact information. You can always reach out to me if you have any questions. The award requirements, more information can be found here about the letter of invitation, language requirements, and it is open to academics only, and so forth. So here you will find even the email address for Dr. Suzanne Hamsha that we've had a pleasure to have her here with us today, and you can just ask her any questions directly. if you don't find the information here. The award benefits are listed here, and then more information on the country area overview, just general information. Here, if you press the orange button, it will take you directly to the application. But this is also, I highly recommend you check the application guidelines. This is from A to Z. It's like a guide, like a manual, how to do a very competitive application. So I always recommend that you register into this site as well. It is my Fulbright, and the website is cis2.org. And then you become a member of our network, and we do send information, updates about the recent developments in the application cycle. So, and let's just go back to our presentation where we were. Basically, you can also attend our other webinars if you're interested to hear more about the specific webinars, like discipline-focused webinars. And we do provide also the Fulbright Scholar blog, where you will hear firsthand, or you can read about the experiences from alumni. And now we can take some questions. Let's see if we have any questions. But before we do that, I also wanted just to remind everyone of the application process. So you apply by September 16. Then after that, we do conduct technical review. So if you're missing a letter of invitation or a letter of reference, we get back to you and say you have one more week to get back to us to complete your application. And then from October to November is the USP review process, where alumni of the Fulbright program get together in discipline committees this year, and they will make the recommendation if your application will be passed on to the hosting country. So that's the first stage. If your application is passed on to the hosting country for the review, that's when the Fulbright Commission in Austria is going to make the final recommendation and, in a way, determination if you are selected for the program. You will hear from us from January till April at the latest if you're selected for the award. But even if you pass the first stage, we will let you know sometimes in December. And then we prepare the grantees from May and onwards for their trip. More information, you can always send me any questions you have about Austria at europeeurasia@iie.org. You can visit our website. I know it's dense. It has a lot of information, but, it's really user-friendly. It has all the information to prepare you for a very competitive application. We do have this special initiative. It's called Referral Initiative. You can refer your colleagues if you think somebody else is also qualified for the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program. You certainly can send us just their names and their contacts. We will reach out to them directly. Then there is the social media. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to learn more about. We share experiences from alumni. We talk about all these amazing opportunities that Fulbright offers. So now I think we're ready to take on some questions, because I know we have 5 minutes for questions, and I just wanted to, So we have a question here. I'm interested in teaching French culture at the University of Graz, where they have a bachelor's and master's degree program. Would I have to teach in English, or would I be teaching in France? I'm asking because the instructions indicate that we have to teach in English. So, first of all, the spoken language in Austria is German. English is, you can teach in English, basically. It's not that you're required to teach in German or in French in this case. But, Suzanne, do you have any feedback on this, any response you would like to tell the applicant?
Yes, sure. As Afrodita just said, the general language of instruction in Austria is German. All languages are usually taught in that language. So the French program might be taught in French, actually. But they might also be able to accommodate classes in English. So my suggestion would be to get in touch with the host institution, explain that you're interested in applying for the Fulbright program, and just ask them what kind of language of instruction they would prefer, and then you can take it from there.
Thank you, Suzanne. So there is another question about teaching opportunities available, like studio lessons, chamber music coaching, etc., for musicians interested in applying for a Fulbright grant. For example, could my host institution be a conservatory music program at a university? So we just talked about the Museum Quartier Award that is available. Also, one of the preferred disciplines is music, I believe. But Suzanne, you want to tell us more about this?
Yes, I mean, there are a number of universities in Austria where obviously if you're a musician, you would be in seventh heaven. I do think that it really matters on how you craft your research proposal. For instance, the Cultural Studies Award in Graz, which is an interdisciplinary award, might be a good fit for you if you manage to sort of find the right, common ground with the musicology department at the University of Graz. Honestly, the Botstieber Award that Joseph Malharek had could also accommodate musicologists. It really depends on what your specific research focus would be and how you craft your proposal. So as Efertita mentioned a couple of times, what's important is that you make clear in how far your host country and your host institution would benefit from your expertise and from your being there. And then virtually all of our cultural studies awards would be able to accommodate musicologists. It just needs to be made clear in how far it is important for you to come to Austria and teach or do your research at the particular host institution you want to collaborate with.
Thank you, Suzanne. And another great question for a teaching proposal, is it okay to propose several possible classes?
Yes, absolutely. My recommendation is always to include at least two syllabi in your application to give the host institution a better sense of classes you could potentially teach, because in most cases your teaching load will be one to two classes. So adding two syllabi to your application is certainly not a bad idea. I would not add like five or six different syllabi, because that would be, I think, way too much material for the reviewers and the selection committee to work through. But two syllabi, I think, is perfect. Three also works well. So yeah, definitely do include multiple syllabi that give a good idea of which types of classes you would be able and interested in teaching.
Thank you, Suzanne. Another very important question about the letters of references. Can they come from a Fulbright alumni, or should they come from any colleague in relevant research field who knows the applicant well? Yes, the answer is yes to both. But if you're applying for teaching, keep in mind that one should come at least from your head of the department so that they can attest of your teaching ability. And then if you've had like international collaborations, it's good to get a letter of recommendation from a collaborator like that, just to show that you work well also with other cultures. But the letter of recommendation cannot come from the same person that is issuing the letter of invitation. So just to keep that in mind as you, proceed with those. Because you basically register the recommenders, and then they submit the letters of recommendations on your behalf in a confidential way. So you won't see these letters, but it's always good to send the recommenders a summarized project idea so that they know what you're planning to do in Austria. Great. So, is there an age limit to apply? I'm asking because some European countries limit the age of participants. So, Fulbright does not discriminate, as we mentioned earlier. We do have opportunities in Austria as well, from early career to a distinguished chair to, you know, it just depends on how well you justify the long-term impact when you come back home in the U.S., who's going to benefit from this experience that you've had. So if you're retired as well, you can apply. You're welcome to apply, so there are no restrictions. Right, Suzanne?
Yes, that is right, absolutely. As you said, it really needs to be made clear who will benefit from this experience. So how will you sort of pass on your experience to others in your immediate environment in the U.S.? So if you're retired, just make clear in how far your experience will make an impact sort of beyond yourself, right? So who is going to benefit? That is one of the most important questions that you should focus on if you are already retired.
Thank you, Suzanne. And we're going to take just one more question because it's been already an hour over now that we're doing this. And we thank you for all your patience to listen to the presentation and the opportunities in Austria as part of the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program. So the last question is about the Museum Quartier Award. What about screenwriters, filmmakers for the Q21 program? Could I do research on Austrian figures for a TV screenplay? I could produce a book, short film, or a podcast based on the results. So this is very specific. So, Suzanne, maybe you can share some insight on this too.
The short answer is yes, you can. All of this would be possible. As I said before, the most important part of your application is actually getting in touch with an institution that is part of the Q21. So again, I would encourage you to go to their website, browse through the institutions. There are several institutions affiliated with Q21 that are in film broadly, so I can always help you identify those institutions if you email me. And once you've sort of started a conversation with them, you can narrow down your project sort of to make it fit with your potential host's own interests and research focus. So I would really encourage you to get in contact with me, get in contact with Q21, and then I think you can basically do all of the things that you asked in your question.
Thank you so much, Suzanne. Thank you so much, Dr. Melhert, for your time and attention dedicated to help applicants in the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program to Austria. It was really an honor to have you here and co-host this webinar with you. And we're going to archive this webinar, and we're going to send you an email probably next week with a link to the archived webinar so you can listen to it again or share with your colleagues who were not able to attend. Once again, I thank you so much for your interest in the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program, and I'm looking forward to working with you in the application cycle 2021. Have a great day and have a great evening, Suzanne. All the best to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Bye-bye.